Father, we commit this session again to the hands of your Spirit. We ask that you grant us insight and clarity in our minds as we walk in this light and we're a blessing to our world. Let every heart on high behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him, that is glorified and we're edified. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Alright, I want to share something, like I mentioned, dealing with the attacks of the enemy. Ministry sometimes involves the attacks, many times, of the enemy. You have to know how to deal with it. And I'm not talking just to the pastors, all of us who work together in ministry. I've told you things many times. When we're together, there's nothing we cannot achieve, including evil. When we are apart, there's nothing we can do. So, if you are involved in a church, a ministry team, work harder at your unity than any other thing. Work hard at it. You see, ministries don't just last. People make them last. I had this conversation with an elderly minister who took the back seat a couple of years ago, but he's still very much involved in theology. So we had this discussion about how they kept a ministry for 50 years. Am I right? But anyway, 50 people in, I think 50 years. So we began the conversation and I said, what were you doing that was very unique? What were you doing that made no one left, not one single person left? So he shared them with me. I've shared them with you before. But one thing I found out in this, he said, was that they all worked at it. You can work at being together. You can make sure that your union lasts. You can do it. It's something you will do. You can make it happen. People don't just stay together in ministry for a long time. They work at it. There are no perfect men in relationships or churches or ministries. They've only made sure that the relationships were perfect for them. So you can work at it. You can make it that way. It's your choice. Praise the Lord. So we need to know how to deal with these things. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Why did he say that? In verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the tricks. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, he says, against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. He says, you stand therefore. In other words, we deal with the works of darkness, with the devil. Every ministry venture is a venture against the devil. Every time you win a soul is an affront against the kingdom of darkness. Every time that someone gets born again, you have wounded the kingdom of the enemy. You are not persuading people to join a group. You are not inviting someone to have a party. You are delivering someone from the devil. In Acts 26, Paul says in 18, to turn them from the power of darkness into God. From Satan to God. That's what you are preaching. That's the effect of your message. That is what your ministry is doing. So you've got darkness to deal with. You've got the devil to deal with. So when you are in a team, a leadership team, recognize that Satan doesn't want you together. He doesn't want you doing what you're doing. So he would rather have you arguing, suspecting each other, fighting each other, grumbling. While we are all doing that, Satan is excited because he has kept you off the work. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You need to know that. The battle, there's battle in ministry. You are at war. And so, no one at war is surprised if the enemy attacks him. That means he's not aware that he's at war. Every church service, every time after the service, every time in the week, every moment, every second, because of what you do, you are a subject of conversation. You are a subject of attack to the enemy. That doesn't create fear at all. It's just to make you aware and conscious and take the right decisions, the right steps. And let me say something to you. When we talk about the attacks of the devil, many of us assume that it's those things that we watch in movies. A bird will fly, a cat will mew, meow. You know, I grew up watching Ogunde movies. You don't know Ogunde. Ogunde was like an uncle of mine, grand uncle actually. And we used to go and watch his movies. Aye, Anyomo, Aropin Tenyo. And because in my hometown, about this time of the year, he will show at the film village in Ososa, he will show it free. So we'll go and watch it free. Remember one year like that, some people came to steal the movie. They came to copy it. They caught them. Aye. Dealt with them. So go and watch those movies. So you think that's the devil. Meow. Then when you see a bird, you say, Satan. You know, but that's not how it works. You get it? If you look at the ministry of Jesus, the operations of Satan were through men. Through people. So the truth is, you discover sometimes in ministry, and I didn't know that. As a younger preacher, I didn't see that. I was so surprised that people could twist narratives. They could just come against you. I didn't expect it. In fact, I got so depressed at some point. So depressed. So depressed, I wondered, why would I get into all this? Because the same people will pray together. After we have finished praying, they will have their own prayer meeting behind my back. So I was wondering. That one day, we were about to organize a program. I was so excited at the program, you know, because I was the convener of the program. So I was so naive. I was just so excited. So we called the workers, a few hundreds, and they gathered like this. And so they said, as you hold on, right before everyone, without informing me, right before everyone began to roll out accusations, I said, so we want you to step aside. They didn't say it to me privately. It was before everyone. And I found that we left the house together. You did not mention it. We were smiling. I was even sharing my vision with them, what I was going to share. They knew I was never going to share it. They never told. And so it went on and on. I got so depressed. So depressed. Because I was young, naive. So depressed. So I told myself, if I can throw my all to serve God like this, and this, my own associates, or friends anyway, because we're not really my close friends, but we're working together, if they could do this, so I decided to end my life. Because I wondered, why would you lie like this? Why would you twist this? Why you act this? So I put things together, poison, and I drank it. People don't know the import of the things they do when they attack people. Don't join people to do it. This is several years ago. The way I survived it is the hand of God. Because if I tell you the combination of the things I drank, you would either say I was lying or I bought a fake one. Because with just one sip, I should see the Son of God at the right hand of the Father. But I believe that people must have been praying. Because I told myself, no. This man, you know, let me show you something in scripture. You feel really bad. Look at Psalm 53. It's not what was done that hurts you. It's who did it. It's not what was done. It's why would this fellow? Okay, good. Psalm 55. Verse 11. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from our streets. He said, for it was not an enemy that reproached me. That's what is painful. Then I could have borne it. Then I was it. He that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. That is, if it was somebody that was very clear who didn't like me, I wouldn't have a problem with it. David is saying, no, that's not the issue. If it was an enemy who did this, David said, it wouldn't bother me. It will be clear. People that never used to talk to me anyway, who will go on the pulpit to preach against me anyway, mention my name, that wasn't the problem. Those who said, don't listen to that preacher publicly, that was not my problem. David said, that's not the issue. Look at verse 13, let's take 13 together. But it was thou, a man, my equal, my guide, my acquaintance. We took counsel together and we walked into the house of God in company. Ah! That's what hurts. In fact, a version says, you are the man. You! Not you! I was talking to one of our pastors recently and we're discussing a very different issue. And I told him, I said, not that person. We share too many things together. Not you. Not you. Not you. So that's what pains us. Are you? After all the vigils we had together. After the things we fought together. Not you. See, it's not an enemy that hurts me. It's not the guy who never liked me. But you, my guide, my friend, we took counsel together. We went to the house of God together. Hallelujah. People that betray their friends never end well in life. They never end well. Betrayers never end well. They never end well until they change and have a broken heart. Don't do it. Hallelujah. The spiritual father of betrayers is Judas. Judas, are you a Judas? Jesus had a private place he would stay. Judas led them there. Things that people should not know, you told them. Because you were angry. Because you were bitter. Because you want to get back. He led them to a private place. He said, take his number, call him. This is where he will be. This is where he is. It hurts. I was so pained. I was a younger man than now. So the weight was on my heart. We had the Bible school that we organized then. That was supposed to be for a lot of ministers. We had printed the invitations. Went around. I just noticed that we had set up the place. All of us that left the house together were the only ones there. What is going on? And I had planned, you know, in those times you had planned your very long teaching. that they will take today. You are already thinking what to, I didn't see anyone. So the first day, the second day, maybe they missed the way. The second day, so one sister just walked up to me. She laughed. She said, "You are expecting people?" I said, "Yes, now." She said, "Nobody is going to come." Ah, I said, "Why?" She said, "I just came to tell you that circulated letters that you were a false teacher." I said, "Me? Am I a false teacher?" See, that's what they said. I said, "They are scared people that you are going to take them to hell." That somebody, even one of the people who was in your team, said that she had a vision and saw you with 666. I said, "Me? That's not my favorite number." There were people who were applying the Bible school together that did the job. Every time you see a preacher that was highly respected losing respect, is somebody close by that is making it happen. Somebody close by is doing it. But you know something? We win. I said we win. I said we win. Hallelujah. I learned that from my friend Pastor Larry Amuso. He said we win. Actually he said let's win. So I changed it to we win. We always win. Glory to God. But you know what? Imagine how the depression came. I was too naive not to know that is what the devil wanted. Did I make my mistakes? I did. I was young. Naive. Not smart. It's normal because you are young. You get it? But the fault finder is the enemy. So the first thing you are going to battle in life, in ministry, are words that are meant to wound you. Words. Words. Look at Psalm 91. Words. Are you in church? Psalm 91. I'll just read the text because of our time. Verse 12. He says, "They shall bear thee up," talking about the angels, "in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Let's read verse 13 together. Let's go. "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou tread." You know, these are figurative words. When you hear the dragon and the adder, Brother Hagin was one that opened my eyes to the meaning of these words. The word adder in the Hebrew has to do with a wasp. Some have it also as cobra. But you see, the key issue he wants you to see here, and go to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32 and 33. Their wine, he says, is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of harps. Venom. Look at the word there. Poison. Shema in the Hebrew. It means heat. Rage. Rage. It is like asps. And that word is taken from what is bitter. Something that is bitter. So these are descriptions of words. Venomous words that sting. Bitter words. Hot words. Hallelujah. Before I go ahead, you mustn't give yourself to this kind of attitude. Where you say things to sting people. Venomous words. Venomous. Say you will tread upon it. Say I tread upon them. Say I tread upon them. So he's talking figuratively about words. Poisonous words. People can say poisonous things. poisonous things that will make you not like someone. A preacher said something to me one day. He said, what people do, and he's a senior preacher, he said, what people do is that when they know they can have influence over others, they will say something in the air. So whenever you see that person, that is what you will be seeing. That is the venom I'm talking about, that the Bible is talking about. You begin to see, that's what you are going to be seeing. So anything the person teaches is going to be in suspicion. Anything he says is going to be in suspicion. That is the devil working. One day I got myself reading an article against a preacher I really love. And you know, human beings can be curious. So I began to say, hey, I didn't notice this. Can this be true? And I began to find out. Reading articles written by people that did not like him. I began to understand, it almost destroyed me. And I tell people, if me, I'm not joking, I'm not trying to boast, with my foundation, and I give glory to God and those who raised me, strong foundation, if I can be affected, last month. I began to see things differently, because that's the point. Satan was working on me. What got me out? Because one day I was praying. I was fasting too. I was praying. Then I remembered. Way back in the middle 90s. Middle 90s. When God used this man to set me free. And some of my friends from exuberance and his words. I said, no, I won't yield to this one this time. Satan was working on me. Now, what was going on? He will use words against your ministry. That's exactly what was done against this man's ministry. And so it is no longer received. So you see, the same people that celebrated the word of God, the life of God, the move of the Spirit, begin to grumble about the same person. A venom has been applied. Something has been said. And when you are someone that you like to hear everything, you will hear everything. I like someone Pastor Funke says oftentimes. He's been for years, and I say it too, that what you don't hear cannot poison you. What you don't hear cannot poison you. Now that is you. Now for you as a preacher, the devil will do that about your ministry. He'll just paint words. I remember something someone said about Archbishop Idausa. He said he belonged to the Ogoni. And the person spoke so confidently that they attended meeting together. He gave him power to heal the sick. And he said they joined and all that. They started looking at... So my dad just laughed. The way my dad... You know, my dad, he wasn't even a Christian when he said this. He just said, this is nonsense. Ah, I said, why did he say that? He said, Ogonis don't talk like this. That was what he said. He said, this is nonsense. He says, Ogunis don't talk like this. That if you don't like the man, say you don't like him. I kind of felt, even this man had more sense than me. Just to attack the man. Same thing was done to Kenneth Hagin. And people began to see him as a racist. And listen to me. His camp meetings dropped by over half. The books weren't read anymore because somebody said something about him and people believed it. That was the devil. The asp words. Today, they don't have to do it on the pulpits. It could be on tweets. It could be on Facebook posts. You'll see people. They are writing against a minister. That's what they are doing. Against ministries. Sometimes it's a gang up. You'll find people that never used to be friends. That's why today if I write something, and some people come to comment, my heart begins to shake. What did I write? How is this person? Because they think you are now with them to fight someone. What was Herod and Pilate doing together? They were enemies. They were bad enemies. Until they found out they had a common enemy, then they became friends. Then the chief priest started quoting Pilate. Pilate started quoting the priest, high priest. They started quoting each other. A gang up of evil. Strange bedfellows. Hallelujah. Begin to say words. Suddenly, they turned the back of the crowd. Of the back of the crowd to Jesus. He said this, he said that. He did this, he did that. He spoke against this person. This is what he wants to do for you. He wants to destroy this nation. He wants to do this one. You're getting scared. Are you serious? Hey, I thought he was a good man of God. Venom. Poison. So in Luke 10:19, hear this. When Jesus said, I give you authority to trample upon serpents, over scorpions, and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. What do you think he's talking about? He's talking about the works of the devil. Words, persecution, accusations. Say, nothing shall hurt me. I don't think I heard you. Say, no accusation of the enemy shall hurt me or hurt our ministry or our church in the name of Jesus. If they come one way, they will flee seven ways. In the name of Jesus, nothing that comes against you will prosper. In the name of Jesus, anywhere they conspire, it's dead on arrival. In the name of Jesus, any conference held against your ministry, it will not survive. It will not succeed. In the name of Jesus, any plot against your church, against your ministry, it will come and die a natural death. In the name of Jesus. Sit down. You're at war. Those of you in a church, and your church is making progress, and you're taking territories. It's not easy, oh. Hey, Satan is watching you. He's going to plant something in your midst. He's going to say something against you. You must be on the alert. It will start from small, small things. Small, small arguments. Small, small discussions. Little issues. It will be overblown. Have you not noticed that if you look back at some things you fought about, you just say, it wasn't necessary now. This wasn't necessary. But you know what? The deed had been done. You will not be repenting years later. Oh, I die, no. But the deed has been done. So when you see someone that has been celebrated, suddenly, not anymore, Satan has gone to do an overkill somewhere. Somebody is being used to throw venom at the hearts of people. You got to be careful. So he says, you trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Because then I send you, Matthew 10:16, as sheep in the midst of wolves. Look at me. You are in the midst of wolves. Did you hear me? You know, the wolf he's talking about, it's not that people are going to wear wolves' clothes. Oh. Wolves. Who want to devour the work you're doing. He says they're as wise as serpents. Which means they'll be subtle. Subtle. Hallelujah. They'll be subtle. Someone recently sent me an article about another preacher. I called him. I said, you've never sent me the teaching of this minister before. He said, I know. So why is this the first article you sent me? What's the intention? He said, no, I just was trying to... Mm-mm. You are trying to poison me. I refuse your poison. In the name of Jesus. Take your poison and drink it yourself. Satan will come anyway, anyhow. Because the people were seizing from the power of darkness. He's not excited. And people, born again people yield to the devil. You don't know? Don't you yield? You get quiet. You're saying, this is not who I am in Christ. I know. But you walk in the flesh. So hear that. He says, you're in the midst of wolves and serpents. Say, but you must remain gentle. Be gentle. You cannot afford to yield to the flesh. Hear me. So words will be spoken. Look at Revelation 12:9. You want to know what serpent means? It's subtle. Revelation 12. The great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil, the Satan, which deceives the whole world. The first thing is that he twists things. He will twist what God has said. If somebody can twist what God has said, you will twist what you have said. Have you heard people say what you have said and say, I said that? They'll twist it for you. What was he doing? Verse 10. He accuses them. He's called the accuser of the brethren. The accuser of the brethren. So you find accusations. Railing accusations. Don't think it's a PR issue. It's not a media issue. So don't go into psychological warfare. It's not a psychological warfare. It's a spiritual warfare. And when you see your leader, your pastors, your leaders under such condition, don't start to ask, what really is happening now? Bro Wale, bro Kule, bro Jide, what exactly is happening? Don't ask stupid questions. You should have enough sense to know what is happening. Have sense. Have sense. Hallelujah. Are you in church? But the greater one is in you. So the greater one is in me. I learned that from Brother Higgins. Brother Higgins says, when all that comes, say, I just keep saying the greater one is in me. He puts me over. In the name of Jesus, he puts me over. That's why I don't respond. I don't have time. I don't respond. You don't respond. Because if you get into a psychological warfare, or a war of words, you're exchanging words. Hey, let me clarify issues. Satan has got you in the corner. What you learn to do is to focus on your work. Teach so strong. Preach so strong. Reach out the more. So strong. Keep your focus. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against him in judgment, I condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. His righteousness is their reward. So I begin to see that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. In the name of Jesus. Because the weapons are in form of fiery darts. Words. Before you know it, you are hearing it and you are crying. And you are crying. Then your emotions are going south. Before you know it, you are sad. It will hinder your prayer life. Before you know it will affect your sermons. You get on the pulpit and you start to defend yourself. Hey, let me explain from the scripture. Hey, don't mind that ministry. You are fighting a lost battle that way. You are. It's a spiritual warfare. Paul says you take on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand. He knows that without that armor, you cannot withstand it. When it comes like that, fiery darts. I know some of you don't like the word attack. There's attack, oh. Fiery dart is attack. Pew, pam, pew, pam, pew. Written, spoken, discussed, disguised in different forms. The first thing you must always know, don't be naive. Do you hear me? Don't be naive. Don't be naive. Don't be naive. Don't be naive. Sometimes I have to talk to some pastor's friends. I say, don't you see this is the devil? And they say, I'm just thinking. Don't think. Pray. And they're thinking. You want to be thinking the thoughts of the devil. When last did you and the devil agree that you are thinking? Hallelujah. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. you find strife. Suddenly, no demon loves a united church. A church that is thriving in unity. Or ministers that are thriving in unity, they are working together. Sometimes, Satan will disguise ministerial fallouts under doctrine. It's not true. It's not true. Many times, it is to ensure that the harvest is not reaped. That is it. Or it limits their potentials by working together. Of working together. Brother Tokyo used to say this one. That any time you see a preacher or someone, a Christian, just particular about a ministry and going around spreading things about that ministry, it is a demon at work. So don't argue. Don't fight. Don't get into debates with such persons. Don't. That is the trap. Don't get into it. Don't try and be explaining. Don't say, come now, why are you saying this? Why? It's a lost cause. Don't do that. It's a demon. Because you wonder, why is this sister, or this brother, or this preacher, about this particular church? Why? Is this the only church in the body of Christ? It's a demon. And so the moment you don't recognize that, and you don't realize that, you'll be fighting the lost cause. Don't get into a psychological warfare. Don't. It is spiritual. So we found Jesus facing the same thing. It came through Judas, his associate pastor. You know, we said it on Friday, that it's not unlikely that Judas felt that Jesus was getting too much attention. And he felt, why is Jesus, are we not also working? Are we not also in the ministry? We are also teaching the word now. Why is he the one they are quoting? After all, in fact, even this one that he did, am I not the one that did it? They just put it in his account. You know, he started having such things. And then, you know what happened? The Bible was very clear about the betrayal of Judas. He says Satan entered into him. Don't forget that. Satan entered. Satan entered into him. Then they began to plot. Don't worry, we'll do this for him. Don't worry, we'll say this one. Then they began to spread things about Jesus. Very quickly. And so what did Jesus do? One, Jesus said nothing. Nothing in defense. He said nothing. Learn to say nothing. His warfare was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Know where you fight your war. Your war is not in the media. Did you hear me? Not at all. Your war is not in, let's all sit down. Let's settle the matter. You're wasting your time. Yorubas have a saying. If you are sitting with people who conspire to have a discussion, you are wasting your time. Yorubas have been saying that it's the person that is asleep that you can wake up. The person that is pretending, if you lie, pour water, I will not wake up. Do you get it? The person that is sleeping, you can wake him up. But the person that is pretending to sleep, you say, ta ta, you say, he was never sleeping. So you are wasting your time. So that's the first thing. Don't say anything. Don't try. Why are you convincing? Don't respond. Don't reply. Jesus said nothing. Because oftentimes, in the multitude of words wanted no sin, in your response, you may sin. You may say things out of anger. Because you know what is going on. Before you know it, you go and curse people. I know people who betray, who lie against others, who accuse falsely. I know they don't end well. So, why should I now add my words to it? It's like this. What's supposed to be like this? And he's already looking dizzy. Don't push him. Let him fall by himself. Let's say you are the one that pushed him. Somebody that is behaving like that, the person will eventually go astray.
Don't add to the problem. Just watch. Don't bother yourself. So say nothing.
Eventually, both the temple, the chief priests, high priests, all they were doing, they came to nothing. That's why Paul says the kingdom of this world, they come to nothing. So number one, say nothing. Know where your battle is. You are engaging spiritual forces. Jesus prayed. Say, I learned to pray.
It's prayer that you pray.
Anything that stops you from praying is double victory for the devil.
How will you pray? You have to pray. Lock yourself up. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane.
He knew that Satan had entered into Judas. Then he went to pray. Since you already know it's the devil, he went to pray. He knew the hour had come. Because as soon as he said, whatever you want to do, do it now. And the guy got up and went. What did Jesus do? He went to pray. When you already know what the devil is going to do or is doing, go and pray.
Go and pray.
So that you can withstand the wiles of the enemy. So you won't say stupid things. So you won't get discouraged. So you will fulfill God's call upon your life.
You pray.
One time some people were saying stuff about us years ago. And one of our pastors, she wasn't the pastor then, she said, Pastor, maybe you should write something. I said, write what? I said, you don't do anything stupid. She said, don't worry yourself. Let's pray. We'll have the victory. Amen. You know why I was able to say that? Because I had a prior experience. I had a prior experience. If I one of the people who plotted in that year, 96 or so, he came to my house. He said, Emoji, all we are doing for you, you are not even moved. He told me to my face. You are not even moved. Omo, you are strong. He said it to my face. I looked at him like, you are trying, I've seen people that we raised in the ministry say it to my face. That it was your father that was giving you juju. That's why you can gather people. I'm telling you. People I raised, one of them I led the person to Christ. They said it to my face. So I said, hey, is it true? So I was now wondering, at what point could you have given me really to get it? Is it that kind of person you want to respond to? Doesn't the person know he's lying? But Satan is at work. It's so that others will believe it. So what Jesus did, he went to pray. Hallelujah. When you see things like that, imagine your churches. It's time to get on your knees and pray. That's not the time to say, hey, bro, sorry, but did you read? If for some of us in our, did you read? The people that never read, you make them read it. Did you know? Did you hear? Don't say, heard what? Come and hear. So, Satan has enlisted you too.
You pray.
Hallelujah. That's what you should do. Jesus, one, he kept quiet, said nothing. Two, he prayed. Three, you trust God. Say, I trust God. Do you say that often? Say, Lord, I trust you. You are my hiding place. You always fill my mouth with songs of deliverance. Whenever I have a need, Lord, I trust in you. Lord, I trust in you. I declare that I am strong in the strength of the Lord. You are my hiding place.
You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I have a need, Lord, I trust in you. Lord, I trust in you. I declare that I am strong in the strength of the Lord. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I have a need, Lord, I trust in you.
Yes, I do.
Lord, I trust in you. I declare that I am strong in the strength of
one more time.
You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I have a need, Lord, I trust in you.
Sing that song.
Lord, I trust in you. I am strong in the strength.
Sing, Lord, I trust in you.
Lord, I trust in you.
Lord, I trust in you.
I declare that I am strong in the strength of the Lord.
Lift your hands and say, Lord, I trust you. For this church, for this ministry, I am not always perfect. I don't always get it right. I make mistakes. I'm walking on the word for my weaknesses, but I trust you. Against the enemy.
Is the Lord in whom we have the victory? He aids us against the enemy. We bow down on our knees and sing. Lord, we want to praise your name on
high. We want to praise your name.
Lord, we want to thank you for the words you've done in our lives. We trust in your faith, Lord.
We trust in your
faith. Oh, you are Lord and Holy Father. Is the Lord in whom we are the victory.
Raise your voice and sing that song. He aids us.
He aids us against the enemy. We bow down. And say, Lord, we want to lift your name on high.
We want to lift your name.
We thank you for all you have done, for helping us against the enemy, taking us through the
field
of life, walking through our weakness and challenges. Yes, your grace abides and abounds us.
Oh,
another town.
We bow down on our knees.
I say, Lord, we want to praise your name.
Lord, we want to praise your name.
Lord, we want to thank you.
Thank you.
Oh Lord, we trust in your unfailing love.
Lord, we trust in your love. For you alone and all is so well. For you alone and all is so well.
Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. We're still on. So don't forget to trust God. Say, I trust the Lord. Sit down. I trust God. I trust the Lord. I trust Him with all my heart. Hallelujah. You trust Him. Trust Him for your church. Trust Him for your nation. You just have to. Because you do make mistakes, true. You do make errors. Some of them stupid things. They wonder, how did I do this? But you trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. And one is important. You know, look at Genesis chapter 20. Let me show you something in there. Genesis 20. Something to learn in there. The house of Abimelech, the king. And Abraham journeyed from end toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Sarah said, and Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she's my sister. And Abimelech the king sent and took Sarah. God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said, behold, you are a dead man. For the woman you have taken, for she's a man's wife. Can you imagine? It's the man that said, he's my sister. Have Megan not come near her as a smart man. And he said, the Lord, how would you slay also the righteous nation? He said not unto me, she's my sister. Said he not unto me, she's my sister? And she even, he herself said, is my brother. Conspiracy. He said, in the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands have I done this. And God said to him in a dream, yeah, I know, pay attention here, that thou didst this in the integrity of your heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore, I've suffered you not to touch her. Hallelujah. It's good to have a sincere heart. You can make mistakes from insincerity, but you can make mistakes from genuine sincerity. So ensure that you are sincere. You have to guard your heart. You have to have a right spirit. Say, I have a right spirit. A right heart. A right attitude. Hallelujah. Said, I know from the integrity of, yes, I've made an error, but it wasn't deliberate. It was from the integrity of my heart. A right spirit. A right attitude. In 2 Chronicles chapter 25, the Bible talks about Amaziah. 25. 2 Chronicles 25. Was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoaddan of Jerusalem. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Look at the difference. This one did what was wrong, but with a right heart. This one did what was right, but with a wrong heart. Doing what is wrong with a right heart is justified. More than doing what is right with a wrong heart. Your heart matters. So you have to guard your heart. Ensure your heart is tender. Free from guile. Free from bitterness. Free from deceit. Hallelujah. Which means, in the midst of it all, as you trust the Lord, guard your heart. Ensure your heart is pure towards all men. Ensure you have nothing evil you think towards anyone, which means you will walk in love. Say, I walk in love. When people speak against you to bring you down, don't do the same thing. Bible says you must not be overcome with evil. Romans 12 and verse 21. It says, overcome evil with good. Finally, I'll close on this. Keep your confession. Keep speaking God's word. There's sometimes you lock yourself in the room and you begin to speak God's word. Begin to speak the prophecies over your life and ministry again and again and again and again. Begin to say the things you heard in this conference. No church door will be closed. In the name of Jesus, we're in the time of supernatural harvest. More souls will come. Make sure that's what you are saying. As we have spoken these things and we have prophesied them, don't expect there to be a tea party. Things are not going to be easy. You still have war to fight. If you leave this place right now, different situations will emerge. If you are not careful, in 1 week, you will forget this conference. In 1 week, you can forget it. By the time you have issues in the office, issues in one angle here, issues in your finances, issues here and there, you will forget the whole week. But I know you won't forget. In the name of Jesus, you put on the whole armor of God. Because you are in a warfare. You are in a warfare. Satan doesn't fight easy. He fights dirty. But you know what? We rise above him. We trample upon serpents and scorpions. And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt us. We won't engage him in mental warfare. We won't engage him in psychological warfare. We won't engage the devil in media war. We'll engage him where he will be defeated. In the place of prayer. Hallelujah. And we triumph over him. We win! Hallelujah. We win! We win! In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I know churches are emerging from these meetings in the name of Jesus. Getting stronger and 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 stronger. You are fortified in the name of Jesus. You are strengthened in the name of Jesus. No attack will be sustained against you. No attack will be successful against you in the name of Jesus. And your life is preserved. 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 In the name of Jesus! No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment is condemned right now! You will do the will of God. In your generation. In the name of Jesus. You will never have depression. You will never have depression. In the name of Jesus. No suicidal thoughts. In the name of Jesus. You will never give up. You keep firing on. In the name of Jesus. All the plots of the enemy, they die in natural death. In the name of Jesus. Whatever is committed to your hands will not die. In the name of Jesus. Nothing dies in your hands. In the name of Jesus. Anyone waiting for you to abandon the ministry will wait forever. Anyone waiting for you to fail in ministry will wait forever. In the name of Jesus. Anyone waiting for your church to scatter will wait forever. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and bless the Lord. Thank you. Mention your church and thank the Lord. Mention your church and thank the Lord. Mention your top church and thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Mention your church name and thank the Lord. In your city, in your nation, and thank the Lord. His mighty presence in us throughout fills the land. Fills the land. Feels the love.